Good morning and Happy New Year. This is Pastor Chris, and just want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. So thankful that you've joined us today and participating with us virtually and online, as well as by telephone. And so we're just so thankful that you've chosen to be a part of our service today. Today we're going to be looking at the source of justice. We're looking at God and His merciful but justice-filled ways of life. And we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. And I won't be able to put that up on the screen today, but if you want to pull out your Bibles, we'll read that together. I'm going to read it to you from the NIV. And the Bible says this. It says, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. And later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought forth some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. And so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will not be accepted. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. And now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out in the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer of the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. And then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You know, as I prepared this sermon, I thought about the Williams sisters. I'm not much of a tennis player, but those girls, those sisters, really know tennis. And together, Serena and Venus have dominated the women's field, winning 14 Grand Slam doubles titles. And they both excel in singles tournaments as well. And although the younger sister has been the brighter star, as of this writing, this time that I'm writing this sermon, Serena has won a staggering 73 singles titles, and Venus has 49, what I can find online. Serena's had greater success and could have made Venus bitter. The 1912 record of Serena's wins against Venus in head-to-head matches could have soured their relationship as well. Instead, the competition seems to fuel their continued excellence, and both sisters understand the struggles of performing at the highest level of their sport. Instead of delving into jealousy, they have chosen to demonstrate their love by cheering and supporting the other sister, always hoping for the other's success. And I think this is a good example of sibling love. You know, I've been privileged. I have three brothers and a sister, and for the most part, we take joy in each other's accomplishments, and so we're thankful for what they have done. And so our text today, as we look at this Bible verse, we see where the relationship that Cain and Abel had could have been like Serena and Venus's, but instead turned into some type of evil going into Cain's heart and taking over that relationship. And so this first part of Genesis, as we get ready to look at this, we need to understand that this is a book of history. It's essentially looking as Moses and introduced the nations and the new people throughout the Bible. The emphasis then quickly moved to the person or entity that he intended to feature at this point. The example, the accounts of the first sin, the first murder, we get to see those things here. And so as we read this in the Bible, it moves very quickly from Moses, obviously, and creation into Adam and Eve and into this circumstance of certain descendants. So it comes in the general history and it focuses on the first human family, which was Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And then the account also begins immediately after the fall. So we need to remember the four consequences of the fall of sin being in the world at this stage. And two are listed in chapter 3, verse 6. That is, number one, that women will experience pain in childbirth. And number two, her desire will be for her husband and he will rule over her. And so most scholars agree that women anticipated and expected these things, but there was a fallen nature. In other words, these are not the way that God intended to be equal things to be in order in that way. And so we see also a third consequence in verse 17 of chapter 3, and that is that God cursed the ground on account of sin. And so that means that humans have to work the ground with hard labor in order to get it to yield fruit. No longer was it easy to come by. Food was not easy to come by, is not easy to come by. It requires labor. And so another consequence in verse 4 that we see is that Adam and Eve were barred from the Garden of Eden. And we see this in the scripture with the illustration of the cherubim that are at the outside of the garden to keep them out. And so they can no longer partake of the tree of life, as we see in verses 23 and 24. And so this also, the fourth thing that it brought into the world was the death of human beings. And so this is, again, another thing we see from the fall. So childbirth, the relationship between man and woman is not as even or as equal as it should be. Three is that God cursed the ground. And number four is that death enters into the human life. In verses 1 and 2, again, we see the conception and the birth of the first human offspring being described with Eve and Adam having Abel. And so as we see this, or Cain. Cain was a child that was born through ordinary human reproduction. And so we get to see Cain come into the world in the same way that you and I came into the world. It is Cain, of course, is a name that means brought forth by a man. And so we see that as a Hebrew word also translated as husband. So it says in verse 2 later on that she gave birth to her brother, to his brother Abel. No fanfare in learning his name, but we do see that Abel kept flocks and that Cain worked the soil. Now, there shouldn't really be a big distinction there, but what we see is that Abel was dealing with animals, which were God's creation as well, but they hadn't been cursed. The earth had been. And so it was something that no longer could we see the innocence and the perfection of what we see. The offerings, again, verses 3 through 5, as we see that the offering, God didn't ask for any particular offering. So we see here again this relationship of the cursed earth coming back with Cain's offering. And so that did not mean that God preferred the younger son to the firstborn in the face of cultural convention or to sort of set that on its head, but it was simply that God had cursed the earth, and so anything that came from that obviously was not something that he was going to bless. So the warning that after he Cain comes and he's upset, and God sees this, and so he walks with him and he says to him, why are you so upset? And he knew, Cain felt snub. That's what he did. And so because of that, he echoes his approach with Adam and Eve, where they had sinned against him. And so he walks with them and he talks with them and he tells them about their, the purposes. And he tries to give a warning to Cain, look, don't let evil get into your heart, because if you do, you're going to do things that you regret, and ultimately that's what happens. God is actively seeking out still this relationship with man. We see this in his walking with Cain. Even though they've left the Garden of Eden, he's still doing what he can to show grace and love to them. So we continue to see that. And then, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. And so this is God's first instruction about sin. And it rings just as true for us today as it did for Cain. Ruling over sin is not a matter of obsessing about it. It is about busying ourselves with doing the right thing. Let me say that again. So it's not about, trying to busy ourselves and praying, about it or trying to figure it all out. It's about doing stuff that is right to occupy our time so that we don't get distracted by the sin of the world. The first step to inviting sin into our lives is to neglect doing what we ought to be doing. God told us what to do. He told us to serve him, to pray, to preach, to go out into the world and let people know about his love and be his hands and feet, and to be out in the world to be able to let people see the love of Christ. If we don't do that, a vacuum is created. And this righteous living that we are supposed to have is no longer the predominant way of life for us, and so therefore sin finds a foothold and is able to get into our life. In verse 8, we see that Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So rather than heed God's warning, which is sometimes what we do in our lives, Cain committed the first murder. And so we see that in this word. Probably even the first premeditated murder, because we don't see that in these verses necessarily, but he certainly appears to have thought about it. He didn't slay him at home, he slayed him in the field. He wanted to get him someplace away from the parents or from protection. And so why was this place better to kill one brother than another? This is where Abel had raised his sheep, possibly, where Cain had raised his own crops. We don't know. But it meant something to hide the evidence of the sin against his brother, burying him in the earth, again, that was cursed. Again, that was something that was Cain was familiar with. And so it's the extreme opposite of what a Christian ought to be. It's the extreme opposite of what a Christian ought to be. His problem was that he belonged to the evil one at that moment. And that was the devil. And that we see that described in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. And as a result, he did wrong instead of right. He didn't follow God's directive. And instead of repenting, he went wild with jealousy. And so I am warned, as a human being, I am warned that if I feel inclined to hate fellow Christians, it is possibly because he or she is more righteous than I. Should I be cleaning up my own way of living instead of envying those whose more godly living wins for him and some honor that was denied to me? Again, something to think about. In verses 9 through 12, we see the consequences of this sin. And then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know. Am I your brother's keeper? And we see all that. And so another play on words. Abel was dealing with flocks, right? He was a keeper of flocks. And so this is another way that Cain is asking God, am I a keeper of the keeper? Am I supposed to be keeping after those that you put in charge of these animals? This is a way to grow, as we see these mess ups, as we see these bad choices. Mom would always tell us to straighten up, and she'd snap her fingers and she'd say that we needed to do something. And sometimes she would do that when on New Year's Day, which is where we're at now, we would line up against the wall out in the cellar, and she was measuring us, essentially. I don't know how many of you. The old houses, a lot of folks kept those doors, so she would measure the height, or your mother or somebody would measure the height of your as you grew up. And so Mom did that. Of course, as she told us to straighten up that day, we tried to do that so that we would get to the optimum height, to see how much we had grown. You know, the mom always had a way of making that an important thing. So I missed that this year as I think about that. But God offered Cain two paths to spiritual growth, a warning to heed and a chance at a truthful repentance. In other words, repent for the feelings that you're having about your brother Abel. But he chose not to do that. Instead, he chose to grow the other way. Instead of growing, he grew more defiant. Instead of growing more loving and more closer to God. And so we need to grow and use these failures as an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord. The Lord knew what had done. It says in verse 10, you know, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And then he cursed Cain and told him when he worked the ground, it would no longer yield crops. So he couldn't even get the cursed earth to create crops at this point. He was one of those, as Greta likes to say, she's that, you know, got not a green thumb, but a black thumb or whatever, that everything, plants or whatever, die whenever she's around it. And so Cain, you know, had this to follow him around. He couldn't just run away from these problems. This is something that he had to deal with, and it was something that he would have trouble with. But God, even in this, limits the consequences. And just as he gives us his grace and offers that through Jesus Christ, we have that opportunity. So does he give that to Cain. And so he, you know, Cain could just wander around. He might not have anything, but he also would be killed because the animals or whatever, because of his forsakenness from the Lord. But Cain knew that he was going to be separated from God. He was worried about that, and God said, you know what, I'm going to give you a mark so that no one will take your life, and if they do, then it would be, they would receive seven times the penalty that you have received. But you know, the whole purpose of this that I want you to leave here today is to realize that Cain was not the first to benefit from God's mercy. Adam and Eve did, and Cain and Abel did. We continue as we go down the line to receive that. And so it permeates the entire book of Genesis as you look at it. You can just see how he cares for the innocent, the wicked. You know, even when he, you know, goes through all these things, we see that he's typically slow. People are slow to understand. God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked, but longs for them to repent and live. And we see that in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. He wants the evil to repent. He will go to all measures to give you an opportunity to repent and come back to him. And though we're all the enemies of God in our human form, Christ died for us, as it says in Romans 5, verse 10. So all may learn what it means that vengeance belongs to God and how to bless those who persecute us and so overcome evil with good. And so I pray that we, like Abel, offer pleasing sacrifices to our Lord. May we, unlike Cain, ask for the Lord's mercy and so experience the peace of reconciliation. This new year, let's try to pick the right way. Let's be more righteous. Let's keep our minds and our hearts and our bodies occupied doing the righteous work so that there's no opportunity for evil or for sin to get into our lives. And let's pledge to help each other to do that together. Let us pray together. Merciful and just God, teach us to trust in your justice and in your timing. Give us the faith to extend your mercy, which you have so lavishly poured on us, to a wicked world that needs it neither more nor less than we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.
Children that we don't know if we have tomorrow. A lot of people don't get to see tomorrow with everything that's going around. Don't think you have another day or another week or years, because it can be all over in an instant. So don't ever lay your head on a pillow without being right with God. And call us, one of the deacons, call the preacher, call a good friend, and just tell them that you want to reach out and be one of God's children. So now we'll have our song.